Amen. We're going to start in Romans chapter 5 today. And I got my King James Bible right here on my iPad just to keep some of you happy. But I'll be reading out of the New King James a little bit. The reason I'm stuck on the New King James, when I was 18 years old and just started serving God, my pastor taught out the New King James, and he's the one who taught me to use the New King James. All my studying for many years was out of the New King James. The way I visualize the Bible is out of this Bible. So when I use the New King James, it's because I have, my imagery comes from here. But how many know it's the Holy Ghost that teaches you within your scripture the true image? But I will use the King James and the thus and the thous so that you can understand I'm speaking English for you. But Romans chapter 5. Verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So say, I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. So who brought us to peace with God? Jesus did. Without Jesus, there's no peace with God. We all know this. This is Salvation 101, no matter how good you are. No matter how nice you are, how gentle you are, how kind you are, how much you give to the poor, there's no way to please God unless you have faith for salvation. Salvation through Jesus is the only way that you can have peace with God. Through whom we have access by faith into His grace, verse 2, in which we stand. So we have access by Him, through Jesus, by faith into what? His grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So say, I stand on grace. So by faith, we have access to grace in which we stand. Now, stay with me. I was asking God, why am I stuck preaching here? Like, can't I just go out and preach great messages like we heard this morning, or like Gary, and you know, or can I just preach like Nate? Why am I stuck preaching? It feels like I'm getting more and more detailed. And he reminded me when I was 15, 16, one of the classes we had in school was mechanics. They actually made us go and learn how to fix a car. Now, I'm not naturally mechanically inclined, as they say. You know, I was talking to one couple, and her dad is like can fix anything, but her new boyfriend, husband, is like me, can't fix anything. But she was trained by her dad, if you need something fixed, get dad. So she thought, well, I'll just get my husband. And she came home, he put one of those big screen TVs on the wall, and it was all crooked and all at the bad angle, and they took it off, and there's like 30 holes in the wall. And I said, yeah, that would have been me too, you know. So I wasn't mechanically inclined, and I was never trained how things work mechanically, how to fix things. You know, I should be a rich guy so I can just hire people because I'm in trouble now. But I'm neither right now. So duct tape and bale twine are the answer to about everything. But I remember going into this class on cars and learning that a car doesn't run magically. Like, it never dawned on me that a car just, you know, you just put gas in the car and it runs. It never dawned on me that there's a purpose for every little thing. Like, when you put gas in the tank, the gas goes into an engine which has a spark plug, which causes a spark to make an explosion. And that explosion pushes the piston up, which turns the engine, and that's what makes the car go. It never dawned on me there was actual mechanics to the reason a car ran. There's more to it than just magically a car go. I know I'm surprising some of you people right now, but there's more to how our car runs than magic. And when we looked at something, I remember we had to take apart the brakes and put the brake pads back on. And I was like, sure, brakes, right? You look at a tire, what do you see? You see rubber, you see the metal rim, and brakes. So what's a tire? tire is a rubber, metal, and brakes. But when you take the rubber off and the rim off and you try to fix the brakes, I mean, we had to take a white cloth and put it around on the floor. Then every piece we took off, we had to put carefully in one position so we'd remember how to put it back together. Because when you start taking apart those brakes, it's like there's springs in there and wire. I mean, it's like 100 pieces for a brake. And that's why the Lord told me was much of the body has accepted that we are a body, soul, and spirit. That I am a spirit, I live in a body, and I have a soul. How many have heard that before? And that is correct. How many know that's correct? And how many know that's acceptable? That if that's all you ever know, no problem, you're doing good. But what I'm teaching on now is breaking down some of those parts so you can see clearer who you really are and why things really happen. I remember asking a bunch of preachers, they were all preachers, and I said, why is it that Christians desire to sin? And every one of them said, now it wasn't a preacher from our group, but every one of them said, well, it's human nature. And my answer was, but I no longer have a human nature. I have a nature from God. So where does the desire to sin come from? And that's some of what we're breaking down as we go into detail about who we are in Christ and what am I? Because some of the questions are, well, who am I then? You know, and just like when I first learned that we don't spend forever in heaven. How many know that? That he has a new universe and a new earth that we live on. Well, you don't preach that. You don't preach to regular folk when you're out preaching and say, you know, we don't live forever in heaven, because they're all going to tilt their head and go, huh? And then you have to spend the next week teaching the scripture about how we spend for eternity in the new earth. But so when you preach, you just say, how many are glad we're going to heaven? You know, and so just until you're ready to be able to teach the detail of it, you don't want to stir up trouble. So I'm getting to stir up trouble this last number of weeks preaching about who we are. So, and if I'm boring you, it's okay. We can go back to your body, soul, and spirit. That's perfectly correct. But in describing who we are, the image will fit. See, when you have an image of who you are, every scripture should fit in that image, or it's a wrong image. So, we are saved and justified by faith in Christ. Amen. And we stand on grace. Now look at verse 21 of chapter 5. So, for chapter 5, verse 20. So that as sin reigned in death, say sin reigned in death. Even so, grace might reign through righteousness. All right, is that close to the King James? Okay, perfect. Then I'm good. All right. To eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So sin reigned through death, but grace reigns through righteousness. Now, the only access grace has, or you have to grace, or grace has to you, is through righteousness. All right? So let me describe what this word righteousness means. This is just another word for your new nature. Okay? Grace reigned, or sin reigned through death. So the old nature of death, see, when we say we had an old nature, a nature of death, it wasn't dead. It wasn't like when you drive down the road and see a dead animal on the road, dead. It wasn't dead. It was death. It produced darkness. It oozed death and darkness. So sin reigned through that old nature of death. But when you were born again, you received a new nature. Amen? And that made you righteous. See, a name for that new nature is righteousness. Because of that righteousness, that new nature now oozes life and light and holiness. It oozes those things. So what makes you righteous is not an action that you do. It is salvation is what made you righteous. Now, let me bring up some of our actors again here just to help understand some of this. Let me see. Jason, you get to be the sin nature today. Is that all right? All right. So let's bring up our characters. So Jason, come on stage. He's up here. And Joe, why don't you come? And Jake, why don't you come on up for me? And Sean, why don't you come up? Oh, I'm missing me. Okay, so this is your outward body. Jake, come stand here. And now I'm it's like I'm taking apart the wheel right now. That's all I'm doing. So Jake, go stand up beside your inner man. So you have an inner man and an outward man. An inner body made of spirit and an outward body made of flesh. All right? How many are still with me? Your outward body and your inner body. Your inner body, every person, child born, is born with these two bodies. In fact, from the very conception, the first cell that's built is built with a body of the natural and the spiritual. Adam was created to live in both worlds at the same time, the spiritual and the natural. And so were you. But when Adam sinned, his nature turned to darkness, which turned the whole creature dark. So you have an inner body. You got Jake, come on over here. No, you're over here, Jason. I got too many J's up there. I'm in trouble. All right. Yeah. Oh, okay. And Sean, go stand beside your outward body. Now, Joe is who you are. That's you. Now, someone says, well, what am I? Well, you're complicated. But you have all these parts, okay? So when you're not saved, the two inner body and the outward body, the body of this is the body that eats pizza and tacos, and your spiritual body, this is your inner man. Now, they're conjoined twins is the way I like to call them. They're brothers who are conjoined twins at the first cell. So they share a mind, they share a emotions, and they share a will, all right? And they're conjoined. That means, you ever see conjoined twins? They're conjoined. So at their brain, they're connected, natural and spiritual. And they share emotions, natural and spiritual. That's why when you worship God in the spirit, you can cry and have emotional experiences, but a lot of those emotions come from your spiritual man. So, and they share a will. Now, everything is great until the day you got saved. Because the day you got saved, something happened. See, right now, the old nature, wave at me, Jason. This is your old nature. This is the nature that you got from Adam. Nature of darkness, of death. That oozes death, oozes darkness. So it oozes all through you, darkness. But the day you got born again, you received a new nature. Amen? All right. So our new nature, here he comes, Mr. Righteousness himself. Coming out, David. He's got not just six packs. We're talking about eight-pack abs. All the girls think he's great. He's the man. Now, when you got born again, God put to death the nature of sin, which would be Jason. He dies. And you are born again with a new nature of righteousness. The righteousness, Mr. Righteousness, your new nature, is what gives you access to God's grace, and God's grace access to you. Let me say that again. Because you now have a nature of righteousness, God's grace can reach through that righteousness to you and empower you and give you the strength you need to overcome everything you face in life. Every one of you are facing something. We all have infirmities. And if you say, well, I don't have an infirmity, everything in my life is great, then you've probably got the biggest infirmity. It's called pride, or it's called self-righteousness, or we can all kinds of names of that. We all have infirmities and struggles that we're going to face, but how many know we can stand on His grace as our strength to overcome everything because of the righteousness that we have inside of us now, the new nature. All right. So hold that. I'm going to look over in Romans chapter 8. Just stay with me today as I meander around. Romans chapter 8, and let's start in verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. That flesh is the old nature. You no longer have a nature of darkness in you, or death. But in the spirit, that's the new nature, Mr. Righteousness. Say righteousness. if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So if you have the new nature of God in you, you no longer have a nature of sin in you. Say amen. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. So if you don't have a new nature in you, no matter what you can wear the cross, you can go to church, you can give to the poor, you can say all the right words, but until you get born again, you're not Christ. Because the only way you can come to God, when you stand, go up to heaven, God's going to look for one thing. He's going to say, are you family? Do you have my nature in you? Because heaven is exclusive. Only family members are allowed. Now, verse 10. And if Christ is in you, how many have Christ in you now? So when it says if Christ is in you, it means the new nature, right? So if Christ is in you, so wave at us new nature. There he is, Mr. Righteousness. It's because of that righteousness, that new nature, you have access to his grace. How many can understand that anything good that we do for God does not come from our own ability anyway? Every true revelation you get, that came from the Holy Ghost. Every desire to be holy, that came from the Holy Ghost. Every desire to follow God, every strength to follow God, that came from the Holy Ghost. That came through God, through his grace, and it got access to you because that grace was able to go through the righteousness of the new nature. If you take credit for yourself and say, I got this revelation, I decided to change this. Yes, there is a decision to be made, but the strength to do those things all has to come from God, or eventually you'll run out of the power to keep doing it. So we want to build from scratch on his grace and not our own ability. Amen? Because that never changes. His grace is always available, even in your weakest moment, even in your most broken moment. His grace is always there. It doesn't change. It doesn't flee from you. What gives you access to that grace? Not how holy you are, not how great you are. The access you have to his grace comes because you're born again. You have righteousness in you. Talking to a girl who's fought depression for 30 years and understanding how hard it is some days for her just to keep getting up. Most people have no idea about depression. I have a little glimpse of it, but not like some people who have a brokenness in their body, chemically or emotionally, that have a much bigger walk. Just her getting up and grabbing hold of that grace and saying, today I won't give in. Today I'm going to keep going. That's a walk of faith that is so huge and so strong that, and if we discredit that and say, well, honey, you should just get out of that. You know, you're not preaching when you go to someone with depression and say, just stop it. You're preaching out of your circumstance, not out of theirs. A good preacher goes to their circumstance and says, don't give up. His grace is there. Even when you feel like you failed, even when you feel you're going to fail, his grace is still there because you're his child. Amen? Don't give up. So Christ is in you. The body is dead because of sin. So wave at me, mortal body. Right? The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit, now this spirit here I want you to look at, this spirit, this word spirit, is not talking about your new nature. This word spirit is talking about your inner man. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. So because righteousness, David, because righteousness is now in you, the inner man is now alive. See, God said, if you look in 1 Corinthians, God says, when he comes to speak to us, once we're a child of God, he speaks to us how? Spiritual to spiritual. See, why can he do that? Because your inner man has now been brought to life, but your body is still dead. So now the conjoined twins, these two brothers who at birth were perfect partners, perfect in unity. Do you ever watch, we just watched the Olympics. Do you ever see the two divers that dive off the board and they have to do it together? And they do a dive and do spins and circles and twists and they hit the water at the exact same time. That was these two brothers. They were perfect. From birth, they were everything they did together until you made the decision to get born again. Righteousness got rid of the old nature and brought to life the inward man. Now you have a problem because part of your natural body, which is conjoined to your spiritual body, one is death, the other is life. One is dark, the other is light. See, one is dead, one is alive. Now these two conjoined twins are opposite of each other. They pull against each other. They will tell you different things. How many are still with me? All right, let's let our Joe, you can go sit down, and our natures, old nature, Jason, everyone, can have a seat. Give them a big hand. My two bodies, stay up here. All right. So this is your natural body, wave at me, mortal body, God calls it, and your inner man that's now alive. The inner man is life and alive, amen? Now, if you say amen, I preach better. I know you're with me. All right, I'll take all the sympathy amens I can get. Okay, so now you have righteousness that gives you access to grace. But that righteousness, your new nature, also brought to life your inward man. So now you have a problem because you now have an inward man that is light and life and pushes holiness or is pushed into holiness because of the new nature. Now, let me pause here. This is where much of the message of the gospel today in America is getting twisted. Because there is a fight of doctrine that said, one says, I'm born again, yes, I got it all. I'm good, I'm perfect, I got it all. I'm complete in Him. And it says, I'm ready to run, I'm ready to go. And you hear that song, I didn't bring my rope today, I should have brought my rope. But let's pretend these two have ropes tied around them because they're conjoined. And you hear that song, I'm free to dance, I'm free to shout. I need to have someone sing it for me so I keep messing it up. So you run off. Go ahead and run off, inner man. You're alive, so you run off. I'm excited, and all of a sudden, you realize you're dragging someone behind you. And it's your body. Your mortal body says, no, I'm not free. I'm not free. I'm not going to let you be free. And it's joined at the mind, at the emotions, and at the will. So you have a fight between your mind, your emotions, and your will. Now, one day, there'll be a cut, and the rope will be cut between the two of them. Your natural body will go to this earth. You and your inner man will travel up to heaven. And while you're in heaven waiting for a new body, how many know you're going to have emotions of love and joy and peace? And there's no meanness in heaven. There's no jealousy in heaven. You won't be fighting over who has a bigger mansion in heaven. You know, who does Jesus love more? He loves me more. That won't happen in heaven. You'll just be excited to be there. So you're going to have emotions in heaven. So your inner body is a source of emotions, just like your outward body. Your outward body can have joy as long as it gets what it wants. And your outward body give you peace as long as it has enough. More than enough, it's peaceful. But you take those things away from it, and it's not peaceful. So you understand the battle now. Here's what's being preached today, what's been preached around for a long time, but it's being accepted today, is the idea that when I'm born again, my inward man, and it's because we look at things that I am a spirit. Truthfully, you live in a spiritual body. You live in a spiritual body. We'll get more into you later. You live in a spiritual body, and you are also in an outward body. You are a spirit. I have a soul. This is what the view is when you're born again. It says, I am a spirit, I live in a body, and I have a soul. So, Robert, will you come up for me and take Sean's place? Sean, go sit down. Yeah, Robert, come. I'm just looking for the manliest man around that I can see. Go stand beside Jake. Jake's a big guy. So if you're listening on tape, Jake's a big man, but I just brought a slightly bigger man along with. So this is how we feel. I'm born again now. I have the Spirit of Christ in me. Glory to God. I'm going to take it to my flesh. But that's not quite right. See, the nature of Christ, the righteousness, the new nature. David, where are you? Come on, David. The new nature. Say new nature. Amen. Say spirit. Say righteous. Say righteousness. Say Christ in me. These are all the names for your new nature, Mr. Righteousness. Now, the inner man, Robert, wave at me. Robert is now our new inner man, big man. Now, Robert is named inward man, inward body, spirit as well. So this is how people think we are. See, your new nature is complete. Do you know your new nature doesn't grow? It doesn't mature. You don't get more of God tomorrow because you prayed in tongues. You don't get more of God tomorrow because you're holier. The new nature is complete and full. It never changes. It never adds. It never takes away. That new nature is full of righteousness and life and light. It is completely packed full with enough of God for the rest of eternity. So when the Holy Ghost begins to instruct us, he doesn't teach the new nature. He teaches our inward man. And so much of the preaching that says, hey, you're born again, you'll hear testimonies. I got born again. I was on drugs. I was smoking this and doing this and all these horrible things. I got born again, and the next day I got rid of all of it. And the next day I went out and prayed for people. How many know that's good? And most of us, I have to say, have been down that road. We were excited to be used of God, but then we ran into something called stronghold that lies in our mortal flesh, the mind of our natural man. So this is the image that is preached now. You're born again, get out and go do stuff. Tackle that flesh, because look at you now. You're much bigger than that flesh. But Scripture doesn't tell it like that. So let's have our men come and grab a seat on the front row if they would. Let's look over in Luke chapter 2. The reason why it's important for me, when I begin to see this image of who we are, is I begin to understand the purpose of praying in tongues, the purpose of maturing. I don't mature my new nature. My new nature is fully complete. I mature to my new nature. My new nature is tells me, not by a voice, but by instinct. The new nature is not a person. The new nature is a part of you. It is a part of God's love in you that tells you how to be righteous. It is a righteousness. So it's what teaches. It's a new nature is a nature, like a dog has a nature. You know, my dog has a nature. If you move, it'll bark. But there's no dog school, right? We've all learned this from Pastor Dave, from Chuck the Duck. The nature teaches you who you are, from child all the way to adult. The nature tells you who you are. Well, the same thing with the nature of unrighteousness. It was teaching you how to be human. You may be the best human, but you're still human. In heaven, there are no humans in heaven. Amen? There's only children of God. So the new nature you received at salvation is complete. It tells you who you are and will speak to you. That's not what child of God does. That's where conviction comes from. But the teaching, the teacher, is the Holy Spirit. Now look here in Luke chapter 2. Because I had a question came to my spirit one day. And it was the Holy Ghost asked me a question and said, when Jesus was born as a baby, because I had thought, well, Jesus, he came to earth. He was complete. So the question was, when Jesus was born as a baby, did he look, when he opened his eyes in the manger, look up at Mary and blink and look up and go, oh, I'm here. Hi, Mary. It's good to see you. I created you. I created the whole earth. And I remember everything from a gazillion years ago to now. But I can't say anything but go goo goo and gaga and make a mess in my diaper and cry a little bit. But soon I'll be able to talk and tell you all the wonders of the universe because I am that I am. See, that was the question I had. Or was Jesus like a baby? Did he have to grow and learn who he was the same way you and I have to learn who we are? See, did he have to build his relationship with his Heavenly Father the same way you and I have to? And so these are some of the verses that the Lord took me to help me to understand that when you were born again, we're born again in our spirit like a child. See, so here it says, We'll just start in verse 41 of Luke chapter 2. And his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So they left him, and they were gone a whole day. And so when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, we are at fault, me and my wife. We were going home from our church here one day, and we travel in a caravan between us and the Kavanaughs and the Grosvenors sometimes. And so we all leave, and our kids are in different vehicles all the time. So we get home, and I get a phone call. Do you have Harrison? No, I thought you had Harrison. And some from the church called and said, hey, I got Harrison and Connor here. And so, of course, the wives blamed the husbands, and the husband blamed the wives. And none of us thought to really blame the kids for, you know, you were supposed to. But a whole day gone. And they realized Jesus was not with them. And so they did not find him. They returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. 3 days. Now, mamas, can you imagine the fire in your eyes when you find your kid 3 days missing? He's not even looking for you. Sitting in the midst of teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and mother sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Now, if it was my mama, it would also add another verse, and she beat the tar out of him. I know you're Jesus, but you're going to get it anyway. Come here. I mean, how do you spank Jesus, you know? But my mama would have figured a way. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Then he went down to them and came to Nazareth and was subjected to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And verse 52 is important. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. Now that's an important verse. Jesus increased, because you're going to turn to Matthew 13. Jesus increased with wisdom and stature and favor. Now, remember this. Remember when they asked Jesus, when is the Father return? When is the end times? And Jesus said, I don't know. Only the Father knows. I can't remember what verse that is exactly. Remember that question? So either he was lying or he really didn't know. In other words, if he knew everything from birth, from his start, if he was complete in his spiritual man, he would have known everything instantly. But because he was born, he had to learn and grow in wisdom and in stature. Now look here in Matthew chapter 13, verse 53. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, say own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? That was their question. Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Now, why this is so important is because Jesus just came home. He left home. He left his home and came back with stuff he didn't have when he left. Where did he get this wisdom and mighty works? Look at the next statement. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? Now let me pause and preach here for a minute. The same thing can happen to you. You can be totally dysfunctional. You can be come out of a total mess of your life, have all kinds of bad names, reputation, divorce, bankruptcy, adultery, everything you can name of, but there's a path for you to walk out of that to where you can come home and they'll say, who are you? I'm not the guy I used to be because I found Jesus and I walked in who he made me. See, you, by the new nature, have everything you need from God. The new nature is complete. We mature to that new nature. We don't mature the new nature. We mature to the new nature. The job of the Holy Ghost is to come and teach your inner man, the man of the Spirit, not your new nature. We have like weird Christian lingo. Like God spoke to me in my belly. I felt him. I heard him in my belly. You know, now take yourself out of church. That sounds normal to us, but you take it out of church and like, what? He spoke to your belly? You know, he speaks to our spiritual ears. You have a spiritual mind that for the rest of eternity will learn something new about God every day for eternity. Every day for eternity will never run to the end of who he is. Every day for eternity, you are going to learn something new about God and you won't forget it. Your natural mind is the one that has trouble. But your spiritual mind doesn't forget. So now, when you read that scripture, and you read it over and over, what do I do? I'm putting God's words through my natural man into my inward spiritual man. Now, my spiritual man doesn't forget. My natural man does. But my spiritual man does not forget who I am. And so we put God's words in there and see your job of your spiritual man is to make your natural man submit and bow its knee to who God says you are. See now, there's a lot of condemnation that goes on. First, it's self. How do I preach this? Help me, Jesus. First, it's self-worth in doing good things for God. I went around and I prayed for people and I did good things for God. I gave to the poor. We go out and do good things for God because we get excited when we read God says, this is who you are. But then our flesh begins to pitch a fit and says, well, really, I'm not going along with that. And so there's a hiding that goes on, a negotiation between your spiritual man and your natural man. And a lot of the Christian world who are going out being busy for the gospel because they have a revelation of being born again, begin to hide their faults and stop growing in the things of God because it's embarrassing to say, I have a weakness, I have an infirmity. It's embarrassing to say, you know, like I'm struggling in an area, because what you don't want to hear is, well, snap out of it. But what you have to understand, let me have my two bodies come up here, Robert. We imagine that when we're born again, if you imagine my spiritual man, my inner man is huge and big and muscular and strong, and now I'm going to whoop my flesh. What does the scripture really say? See, when Jesus came back home, they said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Because he didn't have them when he left. So when he was a kid growing up, he didn't raise dead birds from the ground. Johnny fell down and hurt his ankle playing whatever they played on the playfield, and Jesus didn't pray for him, say, be healed in my name. He didn't walk along going, this is the day that I have made. You know, Jesus, you're late. How can I be late? I'm never late. I'm always on time. You know, he didn't line up all his friends in fourth grade and say, okay, now just take this anointing. Now lay down. Take down. Just take that. Take that. He was, in their eyes, a kid, like every other kid. There was nothing special about him in the eyes of the people who knew him growing up. Until he was baptized and received the Holy Ghost upon him, then he came back and they said, where did this guy get this wisdom and these mighty works? See, Jesus didn't have it when he was a child because he was Jesus. That's what we have to understand. There is a growing period that you must allow yourself to grow into who God's made you. So this is scripturally how it really is. When you're born again, come on, Jake, bring Eva with you. She'll entertain you maybe again today. last time she came up, she kept smiling, and everyone laughed. And every time I turned around to see why they were laughing, she got serious. And I didn't know. Yeah, so this is really, when you get born again, the Spirit, look at Romans chapter 8 again. And verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead or death because of sin, but the Spirit, the inner man, is life because of righteousness. So although your new nature comes in fully complete and whole and power-packed and oozing righteousness, this is what happens to you. See, look how excited she is. Excited? Until I turn around and she's like, oh, there she is, little model. Yes. So there, this is the real you. You're brought to life by the new nature, and your inner man is like a child. It doesn't know things about God yet. It has to be taught. It has to be trained. And that's the purpose of who? Whose job is it to teach your inner man who you are? Is this the family person? The Holy Spirit is your teacher. Who's your guide? The Holy Spirit. Who's your comforter? The Holy Spirit. See, the new nature can tell you this is what who we are, but it doesn't give you instructions. It doesn't, cannot give you, it gives access to grace. Grace has access to you through righteousness. But you start off as this little child. So you pray in tongues, and you pray in tongues, and you pray in tongues. Greg, you can be the Holy Ghost. Come over here and try to, I don't know how she'll be if she doesn't know you that well. So you drag you, the little baby, and you drag yourself to the prayer closet. The little baby in you. See, if the little baby tries to overcome her flesh, how many know she's going to have a hard time? And this is why some of us, we get born again, certain things fall off of us, the worldliness, but there's things in your natural soul, brokenness and damage, that will shout at you and are as big as a fight as this little baby is trying to fight this giant beast called Jake, the flesh, the body, natural body. She can win for a moment, but eventually that flesh will bring her back. How many have been in some of those fights? And if you take the wrong message and you say, well, I'm a giant in God, I'm born again, I'm complete in Him, you will feel like a failure every day. And what you'll do is you'll start to build a relationship with God around your weaknesses and just like hide them in the closet and say later on maybe, instead of building a relationship with God, knowing that even in my struggles, He's still my Father. And even in my struggles, His grace is still there. Even in my infirmities, He came to help me to overcome my infirmities. And even though it may take 10 years for me to overcome something that someone took a day, that's because my mountain's just a little bigger. But it doesn't mean I'm more of a failure. See, this is the message of hope of the gospel. So you start off this little baby. Now most of the church stays right here. And they find out, hey, if I just go pray for someone, this little baby goes and lays hands on someone, God can work through them. How many know that? Yeah. I've taken my little son in Brazil, and when I had prayer lines, I had him lay hands on people, and they got healed. You know, but there's a place beyond the gifts, beyond that, of where you walk into who you are, and you make your flesh submit to the death that it's going to ultimately face. All right, so you take the Holy Ghost, you a little baby spirit, inner man, drag your flesh to the prayer closet and say, okay, we're going to go pray in the prayer closet. Okay, because your flesh thinks what? When you first start praying, Pastor Dave says, if you pray in tongues, you're going to change. And you go, oh yeah, pray in tongues. And you start singing a song. I'm going to the prayer closet, going to get a new car, going to get a pretty wife, going to get a handsome man, going to get a rich man, going to get a big house, going to get my ministry. And you go on to the prayer closet and your flesh goes, yeah, let's go. We're going to, you go spend time with God. And it says when you pray in tongues, your mind is unfruitful. Well, now what's it talking about? Not your spiritual mind, but your natural mind. So you go to the prayer closet and the Holy Ghost teaches the baby. It teaches the inward man the deep things of God. Because now, because of that righteousness, the new nature, your inner man was brought to life. Your spiritual mind went from dark to light. So now your spiritual mind, which couldn't understand God before, now can understand the deep things of God. Not just hear them, but know them and understand them and hold on to them. Say amen if I'm preaching good.
Amen.
So little baby you start off with and you struggle. Maybe you struggle with errors in your life, emotions. Maybe, you know, it's like any sin. Sin for sin's sake is really not the issue. I grew up in an alcoholic home. I have lots of experience with personally with drug addicts. And there's no drug addict that does drugs for the sake of drugs. It's what the drug does for them. See, no one's an alcoholic just for alcohol. They don't blow all their money just and they like to drink. It's what the drinking does to them. The alcohol, it's not even the flavor of the drink. It's what the alcohol does to them that helps them. And maybe there's a sin in your life that you're struggling with, that you're trying to get free from. And you keep being pulled. Why are you being pulled? Because your flesh is huge in that area. And your spirit is tiny, still little baby. But you pray in tongues. And what happens? The Holy Ghost, your teacher, begins to teach you. Just like Pastor Matthias said today. He said, a lot of times the Holy Ghost says no, no, no before you hear yes. So the Holy Ghost begins to lead your steps. And there's an opportunity over here that seems to answer all your problems, but you feel. The moment you're saved, you can hear God. The moment you're saved, the first decision He's going to ask you to make is going to be, will you give your will to Him? And say, my life is not my own. Too many Christians want to skip that part. Say, I'll serve God, I'll do good things for you, I'll grow in you, but I don't want to give my life to you. I want the power, I want to hold on to the power to choose. And that's why Satan caused Adam to fall. You should have a power to choose. But in following God, we have to give up the power of choice. Even though we have it, we say, my life's not my own. My life belongs to you. So you pray in the Holy Ghost. And you pray in the Holy Ghost. And you pray in the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost teaches you and teaches you and teaches you. And you begin to learn who you really are. Not just the words about it. I can take my 8-year-old girl and take her into college and say, now I'm going to teach you about some things. And she'll look there and go, wow, that's a lot of knowledge. But how many know what she's going to take away from it will be very little. So the Holy Ghost will come and teach you at your level, step by step. And it may seem like a small step. Don't let anyone ever judge you for your steps. Because nobody is in your shoes. They have maybe tasted a bit of something you're going through. Say, well, I went through that, but I overcame it. I just decided. But they may not have been in your shoes. So your mountain may be a lot bigger. And yes, it's all done through grace. But let me tell you, the grace is the access. The grace is the power, the strength that has access to us through His righteousness for a purpose. The purpose is to help you to grow and to be walk in every day who He says you are. So you pray in the Holy Ghost, and then you grow a little bit. And then, Connor, why don't you come up here, buddy? And can we trade? Well, Eva's doing great. Just coming up, Connor, hustle. So you pray a little bit more in tongues. You spend more time in the Word of God, because the Word of God feeds your spirit, man. Go stand right up there beside Jake. The Word of God feeds your spiritual man. Tacos feed your natural man. So you can eat. You can eat salads all you want. It's not going to feed your spirit man. You can be vegan. It's not more holy. It may be healthier, but it's not more holy. See, veganism is not fasting. You can be part of the disciplining of your flesh. I get that. Don't misunderstand me. But understand, I'm not trying to take away from fasting certain things. But what I'm saying is your body doesn't grow, or your spiritual man doesn't grow by what you do or don't eat. that is a disciplining of your body and a mortifying of your body. Your spirit man only grows if you feed it the Word of God and you let it spend time with the Holy Ghost, the teacher, and you begin to do what you hear Him tell you to do. That's a missing ingredient for a lot of people, is I spend a lot of time in the Word, I spend a lot of time in prayer, but are you doing what you feel instructed to do or not do? Because of that is, if you don't act on it, knowledge without feet is just knowledge. It puffs up. But truth causes you to act on things. See, okay, I'm going to change this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to spend more time here. So you spend time praying, all of a sudden you're a little bit bigger in your spirit man, your inner man. Now your new nature, the righteousness, Mr. Righteousness, is always the same. It'll always convict you. The reason of conviction is not to say, failure. The reason of conviction is to say, hope. Oh, I need to preach that again. Gotta get my preaching voice on. The reason for conviction from your new nature is not to say failure. Because some of you feel that. You feel, I fell again. Why do I struggle with these thoughts? Why do I struggle with these emotions? Why do I struggle with this all the time? Failure. See, your nature just tells you who you are and who you're going to become. It doesn't tell you who you're not. So in other words, when you struggle with something from your flesh, I have a man who he was raised in Italy, and during World War II, they came and they kicked his family out of their house when he was a kid, and kicked his whole family, kicked him out of their house and took over their home. And now that he's much older, he's in his 80s, I think, or so, he owns a home, and he built his own house. And when you go look at this house, it's amazing. There's million-dollar houses, all beautiful-looking homes. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of these million-dollar houses, beautiful flowers, yards, is a house made of concrete. The walls are a foot and a half thick. The windows are carved in and got bars on them. Even the front door is like a vault. You have to turn it. It's got five pins that go in. It's got a little submarine-looking window that you can look out of with bulletproof glass. And he built that. Why? Because in him was such a brokenness that someone came and took my house as a kid. Now that I'm old and rich, I'm going to build a house that you're going to need three tanks to come get me out of my house. Because his fear was so ingrained in him. Now, you don't dare tell that man, just get over that fear. Because he'll go, okay, I'll get over it. Then tomorrow he'll be right back there. The conviction of the Holy Ghost, of the new nature, will say, you don't have to be afraid anymore. And he'll feel convicted. But that conviction isn't to make him feel like a failure. It's to say, here's hope for you that you are a new person and you could walk in freedom if you don't quit. No matter what you're facing, don't feel guilty or condemned. Get your chin up and say, thank God I got a message that says there's hope for me, even for me. Because there's some people walking in the power of their flesh, serving God, doing good things for God, but it's still not through their spiritual man. It's just of the flesh. And the devil will come and wring out that flesh one day, and you'll be shocked. I thought I had it together. I thought I was in faith, but really, it was just in the natural man. Faith only comes from this little baby right here that grows every day. If you'll spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, spend time in the Word, you'll grow from a child to a young man to an older man to a father, to where you're now producing other people. You're now helping other people. That is the growth. So if you keep praying, then keep going. Don't condemn yourself. Oh, this praying in tongues doesn't work. I prayed in tongues 10 years. Yeah, well, you got a big, big old natural soul. That's for sure. Yeah, I got one too. You know, and maybe it may take 20 years. What if it takes 30 years? The hope is, if you don't quit, you're going to have what he says you can have. Here on this earth, we don't have to wait for heaven. Amen. So we keep praying. All of a sudden, come on, Robert. One day after praying and fasting and reading the Word, that's why the message of the prayer center is so important, because it teaches you and me, no matter where we start, that we can walk into who God's made us. No matter where we start, we're not going to have to rely on another man, ever. just on Jesus. Then all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost begins to teach your inner man. Got a new inner man. Connor, go grab a seat. Give Connor a big hand, if you would. So Holy Ghost, go teach the inner man. That's going to be Robert. One day, this will be you. You look over that flesh, and your flesh will go, what the heck happened to you? You've been eating your Wheaties? What have you been doing? I've been eating the Word. I've been spending time with the Holy Ghost. And now I'm ready. See, when you pray in tongues, it's not like a balloon. It's not like you puff up that muscle, and it gets big, and you punch, boom, and then it disappears. Then you got to pray again. No, praying in tongues is like nutrition, teaching. You grow, like you give your body. It's your inward man. So the part that grows is your spirit, your inward man. But your new nature is complete. And I think some of the confusion that's come, because we look at ourselves, and it's okay to look at ourselves. I'm a body, I'm a spirit, I live in a body and I have a soul. That's okay. But how many know there's more details involved if you want to really see what there is? And so when you really, some of the confusion is people mix up the new nature with the inner man, because the word spirit is used twice. They think, well, I'm born again. My inner man is big, and now my flesh better watch out. And then they're getting beat up by their flesh and beat up by their flesh, and they keep hearing, quit getting beat up by your flesh. Quit it. Just start living it. Live who you are. You're a child of God. And you get excited. They preach you to get excited. And you start running. All of a sudden, your flesh grabs you, and you're like, what's wrong? Well, your body is tied. Your inner man is tied to that outward body. And the outward body is going to have infirmities that need to be conquered and overcome. So don't get discouraged. Keep encouraged. As long as I keep praying, it may seem like a longer road than a lot of people. It's not a longer road. And let me tell you something I'm learning in my own infirmity struggle that I'm walking through. I'm learning how rich of a relationship I can have with God even while I'm going through something. As I'm learning, Pastor Dave looked at me and said, well, you're going through school, huh? Yeah, I'm going through a school right now, and the Holy Ghost is teaching me things that I may never have learned before. But I know that I'm not stuck here, and neither are you. My infirmity is not because I'm special, or it's part of life. It's part of the enemy. And whatever I'm lacking, I'm going to get, and I'm going to win. And I'm already won. God told me, you're already healed. Just walk through this. You're already whole. You're already complete. Just keep walking. Don't quit. Don't change course. Because every day, you may feel like a little baby, you find a giant, but every day you pray in the Holy Ghost. You're growing. And you may not see the fruit today, but you will see the fruit. Amen. Let me pray, and then we'll close. Father, we thank you that you have allowed us to grow into, mature into the children of God that you called us to be. And so we don't give up. We don't look at our current circumstances. We don't look at our current standing. We look at who you say we can be and who you've already made us. And we know with confidence, Father, that you've not given up on one person in this room. No matter if everyone in the world gave up on us, you never gave up on us. And you believe completely and wholly that we can finish our course in health, in prosperity, and in wholeness by faith in you, by your grace, through the righteousness that you provided. You have provided everything to get victory, including the victory itself. And we are enjoying that ride. Father, thank you for loving us and not giving up on us. In Jesus' name, amen.